Well, hey everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back to the apiary. February is well on its way, and we have got some warm weather here in Jacksonville in Zone 9B. It's gonna be 82 degrees today, which is amazing weather for the bees. It's gonna get a little bit of rain, so the forage time will be down, but that brood nest is able to stay nice and warm. We do have some more cold weather coming in about a week. There's a front coming through today in the panhandle, so I saw 30s on the 10-day forecast, so we're not done yet. But this amount of time with the maple blooming and the pollen coming in and a little bit of a stimulative feed with some 1-to-1, a little bit thinner than that, up to 1-to-5, 1.5, I'm sorry, sugar water really can stimulate the brood rearing. And I inspected most of my hives. I had to take some of them to double deeps because some of them had over 7 frames of brood in a 10-frame box. Too strong, too early, ready for splits, but I had to give them some more space. So I've got a couple different segments I want to do today, so I'm going to just take you with me. I do have a lot of chores to do, you know, like I'm finding a lot of these frames like this that were last year's, that need some wax in order to draw them out. If you put this just straight into a hive and it doesn't have any wax right here, what they're going to do is they're going to build vertical burr comb on it. They need to have the wax, and sometimes they're going to build that burr comb anyway. Sometimes you just got to get them going. Keep moving frames in between other ones that are well drawn out to not give them too much room. And I may or may not do that today. I also have some oxalic acid extended strips I need to make today. And I may or may not record that, but if you are interested in the extended acid strips, they are available on my website, another video for that. So anyway, stick with me today. I'm gonna bring in the apiary. I got a new camera technique I'll talk a little bit about in the apiary, and we'll see where this video ends up. Stick with me. Okay, we're out in the apiary. The first thing I wanted to do, I don't know if you can see all these doubles? There's one, there's two, three, four, five, and six doubles I've got now. One of the differences on the mite treatments that I use with the extendic acid strips versus the, I might have to suit up here, versus these sponges. These sponges are made in a very similar way to the strips. They hold more oxalic acid. If you put two of these in a deep, that's all you need to do. But the problem is you can't put sponges on top of a single. The bees just don't get to it in the brood nest. You need to have these in the middle of the brood nest, which is the same thing with the strips, which is why when you lay them across the brood frames, that oxalic acid is getting down in the brood nest. So my mite counts are looking good, and I have another video I'm gonna make, and this will be a little bit of a teaser. I'm going to a more disposable mite checking tool. Randy Oliver's been doing this for a long time. When I was at NABI at the Beekeeping Expo up in Louisville, I saw, you know, kind of this firsthand, and I'm like, you know what, if I have a bunch of these around the yard, I might do even more mite checks than I already do, just because these are going to be right there with me. So look forward to that video in the future, how I make these. The information is available on Randy Oliver's website, so he basically has the how-to on that. So I don't need to say it's my invention, but so what I want to show you is, now that we have the definition of when these strips can be used, I have these from last year, so I'm going to go ahead and start to use them. But just as an example, and hopefully you can see this, I'm going to do the best I can with this 360 degree camera to show as I walk around without having to do a bunch of camera repositioning. That's my camera technique I was going to tease you about. Let's see how we look in here. Yeah, these ladies look good. So I'm just gonna pop this off, get a little bit of a peek in there. So that's the bottom half of a double in mid-February in Jacksonville. I'm very happy with this. So I'm just gonna take these sponges I got, and all you do is, you know, the brood nest is of course in the center of the nest, and I'm just gonna set these in here. So they are gonna be essentially in the middle with some oxalic acid, extended release, in the hive now. All right, so I'm just gonna throw these in there. If I see anything noteworthy, I will let you guys know. Okay, if you remember the other day, I started these singles with nukes from my resource hives, trying to get them going. These were dead outs. Another subject we sure as heck can talk a lot about is the dead outs being reported. So, not dead, but building. So, you know, I could throw some, no, they still got a little bit of sugar in there. So they're building out. But this reorientation stick can come out. No need to make them fight over that. This has been here well over a week. Got a couple strips in there. I got one strip in there. Matter of fact, no reason not to add a couple extended release strips in here while I'm at it, because this is what we're talking about. I only got one in there at the moment. These are, I keep these in the freezer when I'm doing extended storage, but I keep them outside while I'm using them. So you don't need to keep them in the refrigerator the entire time. But the refrigerator and or the freezer, freezer is probably best, does kind of keep the acid from breaking down prematurely before essentially it gets used. So I think freezer adds, this is non-scientific, this is my own evidence, makes the strips last until you're gonna use them if you make a big batch. And I do recommend making a big batch, because I guarantee you the number one reason beekeepers don't use them is because they don't have them in their kit. We could also take off these. Let's see if this, yeah, looking good. Got three or four frames of bees in here. Probably some brood, but I'm not gonna disturb them. I'm just letting them grow. These are old strips I see in here, so I'm just gonna add some new. If I could pull that out, it'd be great, but I don't wanna disturb the brood nest. The strips do the best in the brood nest, right? Just like the reason that those sponges need to be in between the brood chambers. If you put these strips out on the outer edge, yeah, you're putting away in the hive, but you're not really putting it where it needs to be with respect to the cells where the mites reproduce and such. So I got one single in the end, so I'll probably gotta use this again. All right, let's take a peek in this one. I know you guys probably can't see as well, but I'm just kind of keeping you with me as I'm talking. Hopefully I can zoom in a little bit on some of these 3D print, these 360 images. I'm not, whew, that one just sounded, it started roaring when I lifted the lid. Amazing. Another good looking population. Wow, almost perfect. I've got three left. Oh wow, this one is looking good. White wax on the top, still some sugar in the bottom of the feeder. Old strips. I know they're old because, yeah, she got me. Get that stinger out. I know they're old because I just can't see any white away on them anymore. And they're kind of just crusty and old looking. I guess you could just tell. This hive is at, I'm just looking at the wax on the top. It's at six frames right now. So it's ahead of those other two. I think I did this one before the other ones also. So this will need a double perhaps, but we'll see how it works on. We're getting close to grafting. I know I told you about that cold weather a little bit earlier, but I'm gonna graft on schedule, first week, balance sets this weekend. You guys want me to show my grafting even though I've already got grafting videos? question mark. Leave a comment below. Let me know what you guys think. I mean, I can have the camera rolling, but I don't want to do instructional videos year after year after year on the exact same thing unless I change technique or something. So, but the fact I'm doing it and the timing I'm doing it, I know these videos pop into you guys kind of reels or, not reels is an Instagram word, I don't do Instagram, timelines on YouTube is because you're subscribing to the channel or you're interested in bees and it popped up. You know, so I'm going to send you to the older videos, if they're still relevant, on how to make these extended strips if you're interested, versus teach you every single year how I do it. Saves me a little bit of time, and it also recycles the videos. Okay, so we got oxalic acid. You know, I didn't put these strips in this single. Let's do that real quick, because I did the other singles, and just while we're at it, where's your... I have tool chuck. Yeah, you guys are a little closer to this one. So you can kind of see in this hive another, this is kind of similar strength to that number one hive over there. And see, I don't have any oxalic acid in here, so I'm glad I checked that. The reason the chipboard in my video is important because it gives the stiffness. If you don't use the right thickness chipboard on these strips, you lose the stiffness to push them down. That is why I think I use 50 point chipboard in my formulation. And it's about the stiffness and the amount of a material that will hold the oxalic acid, but I changed it a couple times because I just needed the stiffness to push down gently in between those bees. A little bit more sugar water in here, so they're not consuming as much sugar water in this hive. Maybe they're doing a little bit more foraging at its strength. All right, I've got OAA in every hive now. And I use this tub to keep my stuff out in the apiary. I don't know if it's a great idea or not, but I hate running back and forth to chase my stuff. Okay, that's it for the OA in this apiary. I'm probably going to go to my outyard today, maybe do the same thing, so I'll keep those strips with me and take you there. I want to show you kind of just where they're not as strong over there, but in general what I'm doing and just keeping with my chores. All right, be right back. All right, everybody, we're at the outyard out here by the pond. This hive right here that I've got the strips on top of had a green queen. Very, very weak. I took some brood out of another one to try to boost it. And when I went to inspect it, I found the queen on the bottom. I'm pretty careful with my queens, and I don't think I bumped her. But in any case, this is the queen alive check. I'm really hoping she is. Most of those bees, honestly, I think are from the brood frame I added. There was a tiny little cluster. Sometimes, you know, you should say, why did you even bother? For me, pollen frame, I like to just sort of see what I can do until I got replacement queens. If I don't have a replacement queen, I'd rather a weak queen be laying eggs. This was the amount of brood that other queen had. Not much, just a tiny little patch. And I'm, of course, looking for the evidence of a queen, a dead queen, and possibly even queen cells. And this was the frame of brood on the other side, that tiny little patch. They're doing a good job laying the pollen router. They just were not boosting up right. And you might ask, well, maybe you got late boosting bees there. You know, I don't have many of the Carniolans that kind of brood later, but all right, there is something here of a queen cell. Is there anything in it? Yeah, there's jelly in there. We might have a dead queen. Just from the looks of one cell. Two. There's two actually on there. Probably can't see them, but those two cells on the, and this is the frame of brood I put in the hive to kind of give them a boost. And I'm looking for mama. Even if she's sick, maybe they're trying to make a new queen. Maybe they haul her off. I don't think I squished her, but she, those two cells tell me she's either gone or they're replacing her. Which is fine. I mean, I'm going to graft this weekend, so those cells actually will have just as good a chance as anything to make it, assuming this hive can feed those cells. You know, there's not enough bees in here to make an amazing queen, but they might be able to make one. We'll see. I am feeding them. So I'm going to call this two, I'm going to write on the top, two queen cells started. I'm going to put a date on here so I can keep track of hatching, mating, capped, and all those sort of things. Couple little beetles in here, but yeah. So, I mean, this hive has got resources. It's got enough honey, but it didn't make it really through the winter. Tiny little patch of brood there. I've already talked about all this. Let's put it back together. These are fresh mite strips I put in there last week because I was like, well, maybe they died from mites, and there's just not enough bees in here for me to do a full mite check right now. I don't want to take 300 bees from a colony that's only got a few. Okay, so back together. The queen is dead. Plenty of food on here on the top. You can see that. But that hatching brood will keep this hive alive even until they make a queen. I give them a new queen. And there's a very good chance they will make a queen, and I will replace her with a well-fed queen. But note-taking time, right? And I think you should be able to see this with my 360 camera. On these notes, on my note cards, I've got another video about this. I've talked about it a lot. I have date, I have notes, and then on this right-hand section, I leave a little column with my queen math on here. And I put a date in there for the date. So I'm going to call graft day was the day that I put that brood frame in there, right? Because the eggs that they effectively started making queen cells on was from that frame. And that was, I'm going to call it three, that was on the 10th. So I write 10 on the graft day. If I had not seen that and I just came into a capped cell, the next line is capped. I could have said, what day did I find a capped cell? But in any case, in 5 days from graft day, it should be a capped cell. So I'm writing 15. And I've got another number here. It says plus four. That's when I sent it to the nuke. It's already in a nuke, but I'm going to fill that out for my math. 19. Hatch is three more days from the 19th. So that's going to be the 22nd. Mate is five more days, 27th. And laying is three more days. And this is in February, so that's going to be 3-3. So now I've got my queen math on this nuke. If I do nothing else to it, those two started queen cells, I know when they're going to hatch, when I should expect, and basically how long to leave them alone. I might need to boost this with some more brood just to give the populations, but if those hatch, if those queen cells do hatch, this is when she'll be laying. That's a really good tip, and this is how I recommend everyone keep notes. We do more than just write down mites and what we did with brood frame removals. The queen math on every single note sheet is handy, especially if you do kind of the walk away split scenario sometimes when you find a weak hive. Now, this hive here was almost too strong, and I actually weakened it a little bit. Look at that. That's a nuke. I could probably put that into a 10 frame deep, but I, see. I'm gonna make sure there's no queen. God, there's bees everywhere, so I don't want to squish a queen if she's on my lid. But what I want to show you guys, not that I want to mess with this nuke. This could go into a 10 frame if I needed it. I could put it somewhere else. But I put some frames in here that I wanted them to clean up and start laying in because I've removed some brood frames out of here. So I want to kind of see how they're doing on the cleanup. It's a nice warm day, so opening up this brood nest. Obviously, I don't want to kill this queen because she's made it through winter and doing a good job. I'm hoping she's not on this end frame, but I'm being as slow and methodical as I can. But there is, oh wow, queen cells on the bottom. So this may be an overcrowding queen cell situation. Let me just see if there's anything in there. Nope, nothing. Nothing. But that's a sign. I don't think that was her. overcrowding. It's too early for them to really swarm. I shouldn't say too early. My overfed and overstimulated hives can swarm this early, but it's risky to have a swarm this early because, like I mentioned at the beginning of this video, if I hadn't already clipped that in there. Yeah, so this was one of the frames I think I stuck in here for them to start laying in. But they have covered this up. I don't see any eggs in here, so they're just working on cleaning this up still. I'm looking for the queen to show you guys. Lots of pearlies in here. Oh, there's mama. See how nice and green she looks? Green. See how nice her green dot looks? See how nice she looks with it? So she is doing great. So if I'm gonna do any more manipulations in here, I can put this back together, but because I saw those queen cells, I feel like I need to continue to weaken this hive. So I'm gonna put her in a cage so I do not hurt her in manipulations. Now, I've talked a lot about how I do my queen cages. I put a rubber band on here so that I don't bump it accidentally with a light bump and let her out. I've put queens over here. I like to put queens that if she did get out, she's at least in the hive that she came from. I've put cages like in places like this before, and I go back over there and find her and she's not in the cage anymore. And at that point, I have no idea where she is, and she'll never make it back if she can't fly. So if I set a queen down, sometimes I'm like, well, if she gets out, she'll be in her hive. So set it somewhere you can put it back. So this is a open brood frame. So I would not want to add this to a weak hive like this one because too much work to do to feed those broods. This capped brood frame on the end could be a good one. I'm gonna just see how much more capped brood I have because this hive is so strong, I almost don't want them to have any capped brood. So this is a full capped brood frame. See all that capped brood on one side? Capped brood on another. But got another treat for you guys because I found the queen. Guess what we can do? A mite check. Huh. I didn't even expect to do this today, but obviously that hive was very healthy. I don't have any strips in it, so there's a chance. So this is how the mite wash station I'm using now works. I have two cups, one to hold the water, one to pour it in, and I have another cup that I've made holes in the bottom. I'm gonna make a video on how I make this. And I've got a lid on the one where the bees go. And I have measured bees to the point where I know that line right there is a half a cup of bees, so I don't even need a cup anymore. Now, typically you would shake into a bucket, and I don't have a bucket because I'm out in my out yard. So this is where you do the roll method. The queen is safe, and I'm gonna take some bees. I'm gonna give them a puff here because obviously I'm gonna start disturbing these bees. And now I need to fill up to that line with nurse bees from this frame. So I'm gonna get the hanging ones easy, but watch this method. See if you just, they just fall right in. Not quite there yet. Not there yet. Can flip it around the other side. Almost there. There's my half a cup. Now, the lid goes on like that. So now the bees are being euthanized. A quick swirl. Let it sit. And then put this one back. Now this one's being donated. I'm gonna take this one out. So I'm gonna set it aside. I got another rack over here on this side, just like this one, so it's hanging just like that. And I'm gonna just check this last frame. So I've taken a full frame of cat brood out of here. Let's see what the end frame is. Okay, I got pearlies, some drone brood. No cap. So the only cap, they're just gonna have a patch of capped brood now with a whole lot of uncapped brood. So now this weak one that's making a queen is gonna get a boost. If you remember, this frame here on the end wasn't doing anything, right? Some pollen, open frame there. I'm gonna save the few remaining bees there. And I'm gonna put the pollen on the outside edge. No, I'm gonna put this in the middle because that's where she's laying right now. Putting it in there, let her clean that up. I'm gonna stretch this frame to the outside and I'm gonna add that full brood frame with bees, nurse bees. They're not gonna hurt anybody. And remember, this one has the queen cells on it, so I think it was on the inside. I don't wanna squish those queen cells. They've only got two in there. Okay, so added capped brood. Capped brood is like adding an army. They're gonna hatch out. This is gonna be their home when they hatch out. Some of the adults that might've been on there are gonna fly away. This is uncapped. I can even do a shake in here. And this is all the pearlies uncapped going back in the middle. Buzzing me a little bit. Might have to suit up after that shake. Setting mama there. Now I'm just trying to decide. This has a small patch of cap brood, which I think I want in the middle. So I just want to make sure this is a suitable end frame. This is uncapped. So that needs to be in the middle also. So this capped is gonna go on the edge. So that's gonna go in the inside. And the, oh yeah, this honey frame and a little bit of cap is gonna go on the outside. Good time to kind of clean up some propolis, making my frames fit tight. Gosh, there's a lot of bees on here for a nuke. I almost did a shake on this one too, but I decided to, one shake's enough for one visit. Not too much propolis on here. All right, and then my little beetle traps, I typically like to leave them on the edges because that's kind of where they sometimes run the beetles. And plus that also lets me manipulate some frames without necessarily moving them around too much. So I kind of catty corner edges is what I try to do. Double check mama's still in here. And then I'm gonna just let her go and watch her walk in. Walk on down, mama. Nope, she's crawling on me. There she goes, she's down now. And the cover. And because I've given them a lot of work to do, there wasn't a lot of stored food in there. So I'm gonna continue to feed this very strong colony. I talked to you guys a little bit about my bucket here. It is a 3 gallon, I believe, watering pail. I took off the little nozzle that comes with these things that makes the watering pail, and I put on some flex tube. And here on the end, I've got a tiny little clamp. Oh, look at that, see, and this is exactly why. And I put a screen on it, because any of you that ever have fed bees know the bees go to the sugar water while you're filling the jar and everything. So this is so bees don't walk down my tube. And I 3D printed a cap that fits on the open hole. It's not a leak-proof cap, it'll leak, but it'll keep the bees out of there. So the bees can't walk into my feeder. So figured I'd share that with you guys. Invention that evolved over time. All right, that's a lot of sugar water for a nuke in a full quart jar. But these guys are doing so good. I want them to be ready in case I need them. Double check it's working. And there, that goes back on. There. Now, what notes would you guys put on that hive? This is a little hypothetical before I do it myself. First of all, today's date, right? So 2/13. I'm gonna put a G with a circle, which means I saw the queen, to me, that's my little shorthand. And I'm gonna say RM1 brood. So I remove brood. So that just tells me I weakened the hive, removed a frame of brood. I could, now that I put it over here, I can even say 213, add 1 BR. So now I've got where that brood frame went. These two are looking good. Oh yeah, our mite check. So after they've been sitting in the Dawn, this is Dawn Ultra, mixed to 2 tablespoons per gallon. That's Randy Oliver's recipe, I'm just copying him. What this design allows me to do now is the holes that I've drilled in here are big holes, but are not so big that a bee can come through. Now I do see a bee in here, and I don't know if she came through the hole or not. Look, looks like my holes are just big enough for bees to fit through, but I'm okay with that. So now that I've sieved those out, get rid of the bees, and this is my cup again. Zero mites. So I don't know what I did, but this I get another note. 213, zero mites. Zero is very rare. I mean, we get low mite counts, but zero. Damn, it's that strong? Well, maybe that's why it's that strong, right? Okay, so then you say, why do I need the second cup? Honestly, with zero mites, I don't need it. But I'm gonna show you why I have an extra cup. I'm having to reorient myself for you guys. I thought I had one here. Oh, I guess I don't. I thought I had a sieve here in this apiary. Okay, well, I'm just gonna finish the argument with what, so normally I would have a sieve. I need to bring a sieve out in the out yard. And because this water theoretically has mites in it, then I put the sieve on top and I pour this out and then I shake out the sieve. Now this can be reused, right? So now the second full cup is so you can sieve out your solution, your water. Now, did I add any strips? There's 2 strips in there, that's good. Now there's 0 mites in here, so you could argue it doesn't need any strips, but man, I don't do that. 0 strips is betting. That's gambling. Now here I am squishing these in with a queen in here, right? This would have been better to have done this with the queen in her cage. I'm just sliding those in there very gently. I'm almost pretending like I'm bumping the queen with this so I don't hurt her if she is in there. And we've got some oxalic acid in there now too. All right, so that's those 2 hives. 1 mite check. Trying to think if there's anything over here. This hive over here is making a queen, and I've even got it marked down. I've got queen cells on the 6th March, so I'm going to say it was on the 5th that they were capped, because they were capped when I found them before. 9, 13, 18, 22. She'll be laying on the 22nd. So today's the 13th. Theoretically, the queen could be hatching in here today. I found capped queen cells, but I don't know when they were capped, right? So a capped is somewhere between capped and hatching. So they hadn't hatched yet. So the conservative bet is I found, you could maybe subtract 1 day in doing that math. I'm not gonna check on, these hives were fine. That was the purpose of this experiment. They had cells. I need to remember to bring out a sieve. Now we can come over here to this hive. See, there's the beauty of that 360 camera. You guys can come around in circles with me because I'm just gonna do that in post-production. All these are dead outs, and I actually have a plan on taking, another good lesson. This is not a dead out as much as it's a starve out, and I'm gonna show you how you can tell. When you find bees attached to your comb, especially when their butts are inside the cells or they're just hanging on, they starved. And or froze, you know, kind of a thing. So these bees died on the comb, maybe on a cold night, and I can show you the inside of it if you can get any view of that. There's dead bees on the bottom. So these bees gave their life for not enough food, and there's no honey in here, right? Right? There's no honey. So they died. They starved out, in probably on a cold night earlier in the winter. But these frames are good to have when I do things like what I was showing you a minute ago by expanding the brood nest, right? Because those are good, solid, drawn-out frames. So I like to have them here. I'm not going to take necessarily all of them back to my other apiary. Just kind of cleaning this out. A swarm could move in here too, right? And this is basically a mini swarm trap. As long as it stays dry, and that's what that lid right there is for, is to keep it dry. Let's see, this one was already dead out, so that's empty. All right, my intention was to inspect this hive. My queen excluder on top of the bubble is just like for storage. That's not good. Beetles kind of scampering around. I got three traps in here, so you're gonna die. One, two, three, four, five seams of bees with nice, good honey stores on top. Don't need any sugar water and room to grow out. So I'm not gonna mess with this. These ladies are growing out. You could argue if they were already out to seven, I needed to remove some brood, but because I've got four empty frames on the edges, these ladies are right about where I would reduce a strong hive to anyway. No strips. Thanks for saying that. Yeah, I was talking to you, pretending like you're saying something, Jimmy. All right, remember the brood nest. So a double deep, this is not a double deep, a deep gets four, a nuke gets two. And that's based off of the amount of oxalic acid each of these strips can hold. I'm using a lot of strips today. I think I said at the beginning of the video, I'm gonna make some more. I might do that. But this video is getting kind of long, so that may end up being a separate video. What do you guys think? Leave some comments below. I read all your comments on my beekeeping channel because there's not too many of you watching them. Do you like these just walk-alongs? Am I sharing anything important to whether you're a new or advanced beekeeper, intermediate beekeeper? Are you learning anything, or are we just sharing information? That's the most important thing, is sharing. I'm not claiming to be your teacher. Just talking about what I see, so you could translate it if you were confused as to what you were seeing in your apiary. Many of you don't live in my hardiness zone, so you're living vicariously through a Floridian beekeeper. I understand that. All right, so added strips, and I looked and saw the honey. I didn't open it up, so there is a queen, I'm pretty sure, just by the way they're behaving. Okay. You just want to see in here, don't you? All right, I'm not going to mess with the bees, but we're going to get a sense of their strength. Just by cracking them open and showing you. Hopefully you can see. See this long lang? Looking in here. Yeah, you know, since I got my, I can give them a little bit more sugar water just to kind of keep this, because this is not, I don't see a ton of capped honey on the top of this. And this is a resource hive, right? So I grow these long langs to have brood whenever I need it. So, And don't forget, this is a thin syrup now. I'm not making thick anymore here because it's been so warm. This is stimulative. This is going to make a laying queen if they've got pollen coming in, and they do, right? Because of my maples. I've told you guys that. All right, so this is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 frame nuke, basically. All right, there's one. No notes I need to make, really, because I didn't see the queen, and I could say feeding, but... All right, this is nuke number two. And see, this board right here is the division. They can't cross that inside the long lang. Not as many bees in this one. I got 1, 2, 3, with definitely empty frames on the edges. There's a little bit of sugar water on the bottom. I'm gonna continue to boost them up. I got one more nuke over here, so if they need some sugar, I don't wanna give all of it away. Got strips. Did you see strips over there? I don't remember. You didn't tell me. No strips. Should have told me. That's why we're here. So how many, if I told you I give 2 to a 5-frame nuke, and I get 4 to a 10-frame nuke, what would you give a 7-frame nuke? It's not hard math. More than 2, less than 4. So I'm giving them 3. Squeeze this one down here, trying to get it in the brood nest. Remember, when you push these down, pretend like you're not squishing the queen, but nudging the queen out of the way. She was being bumped all the way down. It would be great if I had opened this one up and found the queen and done another mite wash to check to see how these were doing, the fact they had no strips in there. And they're kind of weak, so they might be having some Varroa issues. All right, let's check this last one. I don't know if you guys can see or not. I'm looking at the angle I got yet. Hey, leave comments below, because we're almost done with this video today. Leave comments below about whether or not you like this 360 camera technique I'm doing. This is the one that did not have a queen in it. Well, I should say they had capped queen cells and I didn't find a queen or egg. So now remember, she could have hatched by now. So I'm definitely not going to open this up. There could be a virgin running around in there maturing, squishing the beetles I got. I'm going to use all the sugar I got because this is the last hive of bees I got out here today, and no need to take sugar water home unless you're overfeeding your bees and these weakling bees, especially if they're raising queens and young, they need lots of sugar so they don't die. I also had a note on here that I added one brood frame. I think this is the hive that I saw with queen cells that was almost dying, and I think that was the first brood frame I took from that really, really strong nuke over there. All right, so should I take the strips with me or leave them here? I'm gonna leave them here because I told you I'm gonna make more strips, and if I'm making more strips, I need to have, just like I need to bring a sieve out here too. Don't forget to remind me of that. The ants love it in here because it's dry. So sometimes these bags, the ants move into. It's kind of work in progress. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for sticking with me today. That was a 2 apiary tour. I didn't get to making the strips on camera. If I do make them on camera, I'll film it today, but I'm probably not gonna include it as part of this video. Maybe I'll record that and show it in a separate video. Let me know where your bees are at. What you think? If you got any ideas for things you want me to show dedicated videos on, like maybe that mite wash technique or things like that, leave comments below, because I really, not that I struggle for content, I just drag you with me, but I do like to know what resonates with each of you that do choose to watch my channel. Have a great day, everybody. Happy beekeeping.